Welcome to your sleep story. I am so glad you are here. Before we begin, let the day go. There is nothing you need to do now and nowhere you need to be. Just get comfortable, let your shoulders drop, and take a slow, deep breath in and let it all out. One more time. Breathe in and out. Good. If thoughts come, just let them drift past like clouds. Now close your eyes and let tonight's story carry you gently towards sleep. Tonight, we drift down to a soft green riverbank in springtime to meet a mole who has never seen a river, a water rat who loves nothing more than messing about in boats, a wise old badger, and a very excitable toad. This is the tale of the wind in the willows. The mole had been working very hard all the morning, spring cleaning his little home, first with brooms, then with dusters, then on ladders and steps and chairs, with a brush and a pail of whitewash, till he had dust in his throat and eyes, and splashes of whitewash all over his black fur, and an aching back and weary arms. But spring was moving in the air above, and in the earth below and all around him, and it slipped into even his dark and lowly little house, filling him with a longing he could not name. It was small wonder then that he suddenly flung down his brush, said bother, and blow, and hang spring cleaning, and bolted out of the house without even waiting to put on his coat. Up he scrambled through the steep little tunnel, muttering, up we go, till at last, pop, his snout came out into the sunlight, and he found himself rolling in the warm grass of a great meadow. Oh, this was fine! This was better than whitewashing. The sunshine struck warm on his fur, soft breezes caressed his heated brow, and the carol of happy birds fell on his ears almost like a shout. He rambled hither and thither through the meadows, along the hedgerows and across the copses, finding everywhere birds building and flowers budding and leaves thrusting, everything happy and busy and occupied. And he felt how jolly it was to be the only idle fellow among all these busy citizens. His happiness was complete when, wandering along, he suddenly stood by the edge of a full-fed river. Never in his life had he seen a river before. This sleek, sinuous, full-bodied animal, chasing and chuckling, gripping things with a gurgle, and leaving them with a laugh. All was a shake and a shiver, glints and gleams and sparkles, rustle and swirl, chatter and bubble. The mole was bewitched, entranced, fascinated. As he sat on the grass and looked across the water, a dark hole in the far bank caught his eye, and dreamily he fell to considering what a nice snug dwelling it would make. As he gazed, something bright and small seemed to twinkle in the heart of it, vanished, then twinkled once more like a tiny star. Then, as he looked, it winked at him and declared itself to be an eye, and a small face began gradually to grow up round it, like a frame round a picture. A brown little face, with whiskers, a grave round face, with the same twinkle in its eye, small neat ears and thick silky hair. It was the water rat. "Hello, mole," said the water rat. "Hello, rat," said the mole. "Would you like to come over?" asked the rat. And before the mole could answer, the rat stooped, unfastened a rope, and hauled on it, then lightly stepped into a little boat the mole had not observed. It was painted blue outside and white within, and was just the size for two animals. The rat sculled smartly across and made fast, and held up his paw as the mole stepped gingerly down. And the mole, to his surprise and rapture, found himself actually seated in the stern of a real boat.
"Do you know," said the mole, "I have never been in a boat before in all my life."
"What?" cried the rat, open-mouthed.
"Well, I. What have you been doing, then?"
"Is it so nice as all that?" asked the mole shyly, as he leaned back and felt the boat sway lightly under him.
"Nice," said the water rat solemnly, leaning forward for his stroke. "It is the only thing. Believe me, my young friend, there is nothing, absolute nothing, half so much worth doing as simply messing about in boats."
"Simply messing," he went on dreamily. "Messing about in boats. Messing."
"Look ahead, rat,"
cried the mole suddenly.
It was too late. The boat struck the bank full tilt, and the joyous oarsman lay on his back at the bottom of the boat, his heels in the air. "About in boats, or with boats," the rat went on composedly, picking himself up with a pleasant laugh. "In or out of them, it does not matter. Nothing seems really to matter. That is the charm of it. Whether you get away, or whether you do not, whether you arrive at your destination, or whether you reach somewhere else, or whether you never get anywhere at all, you are always busy, and you never do anything in particular. Look here, if you have really nothing else on hand this morning, supposing we drop down the river together and have a long day of it." The mole waggled his toes from sheer happiness and leaned back blissfully into the soft cushions.
"What a day I am having," he said. "Let us start at once."
"Hold hard a minute, then," said the rat. He climbed up into his hole above, and after a short interval reappeared staggering under a fat wicker luncheon basket.
"Shove that under your feet," he observed, as he passed it down into the boat.
"What is inside it?" asked the mole, wriggling with curiosity.
"There is cold chicken inside it," replied the rat briefly. "Cold tongue, cold ham, cold beef, pickled gherkins, salad, French rolls, cress sandwiches, potted meat, ginger beer, lemonade, soda water."
"Oh, stop, stop," cried the mole in ecstasies. "This is too much." So they dropped down the river together, the mole trailing a paw in the water and dreaming long waking dreams, while the water rat, like the good little fellow he was, sculled steadily on and forbore to disturb him. And when the luncheon hour drew near, the rat drew the boat into a little creek, and they picnicked on the grassy bank, and the mole ate and ate, and declared it the finest day of his life. And the river chattered on beside them, telling the best stories in the world. Now it was not many days after this that the rat took the mole to call upon a very old friend of his, a certain Mr. Toad of Toad Hall. Toad was rich and kind-hearted, but he was also restless and easily carried away, and his friends were always a little anxious about what his next craze would be. They found him in the stable yard, beaming all over his green face, beside the most wonderful gypsy caravan. It was painted yellow, with green and red wheels, and little windows with lace curtains, and a tiny chimney. And inside there were bunks and a table, and a stove and cupboards.
"We are going to go a-wandering," cried Toad, dancing round the caravan. The open road, the dusty highway, the heath, the common, the hedgerows, the rolling downs. The world has held great heroes, as history books have showed, but never a name to go down to fame compared with that of Toad. The rat tried to talk him out of it, but there was no stopping Toad when his mind was made up. So the very next morning the three of them set off, with the horse between the shafts, stepping proudly, and Toad driving from the little front seat, singing his song and waving to everyone they passed. It was a glorious adventure. They lunched by the roadside, and dozed in the warm afternoon, and told stories, and the mole thought he had never been so happy. But late that afternoon, as they ambled along a quiet lane, they heard behind them a sound that grew and grew, a shrill, throbbing hum, like a great bee approaching. Then, with a blast of its horn, a motor car swept past them, filling the air with dust. The horse shied and bolted, the caravan lurched and swayed, and with a crash it tipped right over into the ditch, wheels spinning in the air. When they had picked themselves up and calmed the horse and righted the caravan, they looked at one another in silence. And then, to their amazement, Toad was sitting in the middle of the dusty road, gazing after the motor car with a look of the most complete and blissful rapture. "The poetry of motion," he whispered. "The real way to travel. The only way to travel. Here today and gone tomorrow. Villages skipped, towns and cities jumped, always somebody else's horizon. Oh bliss, oh poop poop, oh my, oh my." From that moment, Toad thought of nothing but motor cars. He bought one, then another, each faster and more splendid than the last. He drove them furiously about the countryside, to the terror of everyone he met. And no amount of talking could cure him. The rat and the mole and the badger, for Badger was their friend too, held long, anxious councils about him. But Toad only laughed and sang and drove faster than ever, until at last his recklessness landed him in the deepest trouble of all, and he was carried off and shut up far away, and Toad Hall stood empty and silent. But you must not worry about Toad, for Toad always lands on his feet. And while he was away, something else was happening on the river bank, something quieter and softer, that the mole would remember all his life. It was on a cold winter's evening that the mole, feeling restless and a little lonely, decided to explore the wild wood by himself. The rat had warned him never to go there alone, for the wild wood was a dark and tangled place, full of strange rustlings. But the mole was curious, and the afternoon was grey, and before he quite knew how it happened, he was deep among the trees, where the light was dim and green, and every twig seemed to whisper. Soon he began to feel uneasy. A face peered at him from a hole, then vanished. Something pattered behind him and was gone. His heart beat fast, and he wished with all his heart that he had stayed at home. He stumbled on, colder and more frightened, until at last he could go no further, and he curled himself up at the foot of a great tree and tried to be brave. But the rat, when he discovered the mole was missing, came hurrying after him without a moment's hesitation, lantern in paw, calling his name through the darkening wood. And when he found him, cold and trembling, he wrapped him up warmly and scolded him gently and loved him. And together they struggled on through the snow that had begun to fall, until they saw a light glimmering ahead, and stumbled, half frozen, to the door of Mr. Badger. Now Badger was a great, gruff, solitary fellow who lived deep in the wild wood and liked his own company. But when he opened the door and saw the two of them, wet and shivering, his heart melted. "In you come, in you come," he rumbled,
and he bustled them into his warm, dry, firelit kitchen and gave them hot soup and toasted muffins and dried their clothes and tucked them into armchairs before the blazing fire. And the mole thought he had never been so comfortable in all his life, and the fear of the wild wood melted away like the snow outside the door. That night, as they sat drowsy by the fire, Badger listened gravely while the rat told him all about Toad and his motor cars. "Something must be done," said Badger at last, in his deep, slow voice. "Toad is in trouble, and we are his friends." And they made a plan together, there in the warm lamplight, while the wind sighed softly in the chimney. But the winter passed as winters do, and spring came back to the riverbank, soft and green and full of birdsong. And one fine morning the mole, wandering happily along, caught a sudden scent on the breeze that stopped him in his tracks. It was the smell of his own little home, the home he had left so long ago on that first spring morning. Home, his home, waiting for him, patient and quiet. "Oh, rat," he cried, his eyes filling with tears, "I have deserted it. I left it all those months ago and never gave it another thought. Take me home, Ratty, please." And the rat, who understood at once, turned without a word and followed the mole as he hurried along, sniffing and searching, until they found the little tunnel, half hidden under the hedge. And there it was, his own front door, dusty and neglected, but his. Inside it was dark and musty, and everything was upside down from that long-ago spring cleaning. But the mole did not care. He bustled about, and the rat helped him, and together they lit the fire, and swept the floor, and found candles, and the little house glowed warm and golden. And when Badger arrived, as he presently did, for he had a nose for supper, they all sat down together to a simple, perfect meal. And the mole's heart was so full he could hardly speak. "Dulce domum," he whispered, "sweet home. There is nothing, not even the river, to compare with home." Now, while all this quiet happiness was unfolding on the riverbank, Toad was having adventures of his own. For Toad, as I told you, always lands on his feet. He escaped from his prison in the most ingenious way. Dressed as a washerwoman, with a shawl over his head and a basket on his arm, and he waddled right past the guards, who never suspected a thing. He had many scrapes on his way home. He rode on a barge horse, and quarrelled with the barge woman, and fell into the canal, and was chased, and lost, and very hungry, and very tired. But at last, footsore and shabby, he crept back to the riverbank in the dusk, and found the rat, who took one look at him, and burst out laughing and crying all at once, and fed him, and warmed him, and told him everything. For in Toad's absence, the weasels and stoats of the wild wood had taken possession of Toad Hall, and were living there in great swagger, eating Toad's food, and drinking Toad's drink, and making a terrible mess. "This cannot be borne," said Badger grimly, when he heard. "We must take Toad Hall back." And so the four friends, Mole and Rat and Badger and Toad, made a brave and secret plan. On a dark night they crept through a hidden tunnel that led right into the heart of Toad Hall. Armed with nothing but stout sticks and stout hearts, and when they burst into the banquet hall where the weasels were feasting, there was a great commotion and a great scattering, and the weasels fled squealing into the night, and Toad Hall belonged to Toad once more. But here is the wonderful thing.
Toad was quite changed. He was sorry for his reckless ways and grateful to his friends, and he gave a great banquet in their honour, at which he sang, not about himself, but a song in praise of friendship. And though he still loved fine things, he never again let them run away with him. And so the seasons turned, gentle as the river itself. The mole grew to love the river almost as much as the rat did, though never quite so much as his own little home. The rat sculled and dreamed and wrote verses in his head. The badger dozed by his fire and grumbled kindly at visitors. And Toad, a wiser toad, pottered happily about Toad Hall. On summer evenings they would sit together on the river bank and watch the sun go down behind the willows and listen to the wind whispering through the leaves, that soft, secret wind that seems to be telling stories of its own. And the river would chatter on beside them, telling the best stories in the world, and one by one the stars would come out, and all was peace. And so our story drifts to its end, like a boat coming gently to rest against the bank. The river is quiet now, the willows are still, and the little house under the hill is warm and dark and waiting. You have wandered far tonight, down the river and along the open road, through the wild wood and home again. There is nothing more you need to do. Just rest and breathe slow and let the soft night hold you. Good night, dear listener. Sleep deep and dream of rivers. Good night.